You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. He ushered in the $5 workday, the auto assembly line, the Model T. And 100 years ago this month, Henry Ford bought his hometown paper, the Dearborn Independent. And as journalist Bill McGraw spells out in a story published in Deadline Detroit, Henry Ford used his newspaper as a platform for anti-Semitic attacks. Bill McGraw is with us now. Good to have you back on Stateside, Bill.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we should note, you live in Dearborn, and you researched and wrote this piece for Deadline Detroit, giving it an online presence, this story, and also for a quarterly magazine called The Dearborn Historian. Tell us about a little bit about The Dearborn Historian.
Well, it was written principally for The Dearborn Historian. It's a quarterly magazine, just 30, 32 pages, that comes out of the Dearborn Historical Museum. And it's come out for quite a long time, a number of over 20 years. So I'm the editor, and it was the 100th anniversary of Ford buying the Dearborn Independent, and it seemed like an appropriate time to explore something that a lot of people know in general, that Henry Ford had anti-Semitic ideas. But the idea of the story was to bring into one article the various research scholars have done over the years and really give a full picture of what Henry Ford and anti-Semitism means.
And this story went up on Deadline Detroit's website last Friday. And then what happened with the Dearborn Historian?
Well, yesterday I was informed by people on the Dearborn Historical Commission that the mayor of Dearborn, John O'Reilly, had decided that the city wasn't going to send out this issue of the magazine. And it's obviously because of the Ford content, but I don't know any of the details, or I don't know why the mayor made that decision.
All right. Well, let's talk about your story. Give us, just kind of refresh our memories. Give us a sense of Henry Ford's views about Jewish people.
Well, Henry Ford believed that Jewish people, he believed the various stereotypes about Jewish people that had been going around for hundreds of years before Henry Ford, and that still are going around. In general, that Jews are conspiring to control the world financial system. And then secondarily, that they're also scheming and already taking part in plots to take over various American industries, like the alcohol distribution industry, Hollywood films, even baseball and jazz. Henry Ford was very concerned about those things, and he bought the paper 100 years ago this month, and within about a year and a half, his paper was churning that out. I mean, Ford himself didn't write those articles. His paper did, the people he hired did, and the people he consulted with wrote the articles.
So Ford owning the Dearborn Independent gave him a platform to share these views, but he didn't have to do it.
No, he didn't have to do it at all. And then not only did they put out the Dearborn Independent, that actually was put out under Ford's name from about 1919 to 1927. The attacks on Jews came in a couple different concentrated periods. One that lasted almost two straight years, and the other one that was a little bit shorter. But they took Ford's lieutenants took the content of all these articles week after week in the Dearborn Independent and put it into books, four volumes of books, which they titled The International Jew. And they spent millions translating those books and distributing them all over Europe and North America and even South America in the years after World War I. And as the article points out, many scholars, even scholars who have written books that are very sympathetic to Ford in many ways, acknowledge that his books had a big impact on Germany, including people who would later become members of the Nazi, not only members, but officials in the Nazi Party, and very disturbingly, Adolf Hitler himself.
Well, yes, you write about this, that Ford's anti-Semitic views found a very appreciative audience in Adolf Hitler. How do we know that?
We know that from what Henry Ford told interviewers at the time, including an interviewer from the Detroit News in 1931. This is before he took power and before people knew what it was going to be like to have Adolf Hitler running Germany. So in what other scholars have determined from their studies is that Hitler was heading in his own direction about anti-Semitism, and certainly was an anti-Semite before he read anything by Henry Ford. But Ford, in the early 20s, was one of the most famous people in the world for his accomplishments with the Ford Motor Company. And so he gave like some serious validation to Hitler's ideas, especially about Jews being responsible for all the world's problems. And again, David Lewis, who was a very sympathetic biographer of Ford, but he wrote very plainly in a book he wrote called The Public Image of Henry Ford in the mid-70s, that Ford's writings inspired Hitler's early speeches about Jews.
It is stunning to read your story in Deadline Detroit and realize that as Hitler's giving this interview to this Detroit News reporter in his office in Munich, here's a great big portrait of Ford over the desk of the future Führer, and he tells the news, "I regard Henry Ford as my inspiration."
Right, and I realize it's a heavy thing for a city to deal with when, you know, Dearborn is very closely associated with Henry Ford, obviously. I mean, his image is even on sewer covers in Dearborn. And so, how officials deal with that situation. One other thing involving Hitler that is fairly well known is that in 1938, when Hitler was in power and he had already invaded Austria, or at least his army had marched into Austria, he gave Ford a 75th birthday present, the highest honor that Germany gave foreigners in that era. Ford accepted it, and it was quite publicized, and it created quite a storm of bad publicity for Ford, who, by the way, was really heavily criticized throughout the 20s by both leading members of the Jewish community, but also leading members of just the United States, including two presidents. So his actions about this were very well known in the 20s and very, like I said, highly criticized.
And did, considering, as you say, heavily criticized, and then thinking of in the immediate post-World War II era, did anything splash back on him to the point where he walked his comments back or apologized?
He did. He apologized twice, or he issued apologies twice, but both times he blamed underlings, and he claimed that he wasn't aware that this kind of content was going into a paper that was nicknamed the Ford Weekly or something, and was clearly owned by him, and people who were on the inside knew what was going on as far as the production of the weekly paper and how much Ford was influencing it. So both of his apologies, quote unquote, were widely scorned by both people in the media, politicians, and ordinary Americans.
I'm speaking with journalist Bill McGraw as we talk about his piece published in Deadline Detroit, 100 Years Later, Dearborn Confronts the Hate of Hometown Hero Henry Ford. And in your piece, Bill, you point out that these anti-Semitic views of Henry Ford are getting fresh attention these days. How so, and from whom? How are we seeing Ford's influence?
Well, that was the most stunning thing for me, that Ford, as a expert on hate groups in America who worked for the Southern Poverty Law Center, told me, Henry Ford is a living, breathing anti-Semite for haters in this day and age. And when you go on the various extremist websites like Stormfront, for instance, you'll see people discussing The International Jew. Those books are still in circulation. You can buy them. In fact, you can even go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble and buy The International Jew. And they really have given, the internet age has really given Ford's somewhat dormant ideology a huge showcase in the 21st century. And he's, as this woman told me, the expert from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Henry Ford is just all over. There's thousands and thousands of references to him and the International Jew on these websites and internet forums.
And as a matter of fact, to back that up, I went onto Amazon myself just to see, and I wanted to see what kind of reviews were there. And it was interesting. There were double the positive reviews than the negative reviews.
Exactly.
Give us an example of a review that really jumped out at you. What are people saying in these reviews?
Well, I think the striking thing, they say this pretty similar things. They say that you can almost tell that they appear to be young people, or at least maybe new to the movement, because they're discovering Henry Ford, and they're acting like, hey, everybody, have you guys seen what Henry Ford himself, you know, who's still kind of a mythological character in America? And they're sort of like, again, using the fact that this great American is validating the views that they hold in 2019.
Circling back to the Dearborn Independent, as you say, which Ford bought 100 years ago this month, how long did that last, that relationship?
He bought the Independent in 1919. The anti-Semitic attacks started in 1920, and he closed the paper down in 1927. And he closed it down after one of his targets in the later period when he was attacking Jews. He was a activist in the farm co-op movement named Aaron Shapiro. He fired back at Ford and filed a federal anti-defamation suit of some sort in federal court in Detroit. And it didn't come to court until 1927. Very sensational coverage. It was one of those trials of the decade. It was ended, though, by juror misconduct. So there was no verdict. The Ford did, however, settle out of court with Shapiro. And that's one of the times when Ford issued the apology. And then he closed the paper down.
Back to the fact that you submitted this piece for the Dearborn Historian, so this issue is not coming out, and you're saying that you haven't gotten any satisfactory answer as to why from anyone?
Not that I haven't received a satisfactory answer. I've only heard kind of through the grapevine of people who are volunteers on the Dearborn Historical Commission. I don't think there's any question that the mayor decided yesterday that this issue wasn't going to go out. But again, I haven't heard from the mayor or any of his people, and it's fine. I mean, it's there. He's the mayor, and I'm just the editor of the magazine. But I just can't tell you why he made that decision.
And we should note that Stateside reached out to Dearborn Mayor John O'Reilly's office seeking some comment, and we have not heard back from him. Bill McGraw, his piece on the 100th anniversary of the Dearborn Independent being bought by Henry Ford and used as a platform for Ford's anti-Semitism, can be found at Deadline Detroit. Bill McGraw, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.